Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today we're going to talk about Anne Heche and her mysterious death. We're going to talk about her life, her death, and the conspiracies about what happened there. We're going to talk about her fourth dimensional alter egos, yes. And of course, Ellen DeGeneres. Yes, I know. I know. Everyone's ready to talk about her, so let's talk about her. We'll do that at the end, actually. Who was Anne Heche? Well, she was an actress. You may remember her from such films as Donnie Brasco. She played Johnny Depp's wife, if you recall. She was in I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was in 6 Days, Seven Nights with Harrison Ford. She was in the remake of Psycho, which is actually was pretty good. It was almost a shot-for-shot copy, but I liked it. I thought it was good. And a soap opera called Another World. Fun fact, she did a show on Sirius Satellite Radio with Jason Ellis called Love and Heche in 2017. Then in late 2020, she started a podcast called Better Together with another partner. Now, and self-admittedly, I don't know a lot about Anne Heche, all right? I've never listened to her podcast. I don't know much about her, not a big fan. Not that I don't like her work, I just, you know, you get what I'm saying. But on August 5th, 2022, she was in this wild car accident. And you can see, there's a few videos of this, right? One video captures her from a Ring doorbell, I think, of a car, her car flying through a neighborhood way too fast. And she would hit a house and damn near killed the owner of the home and her pets because it caused a fire. It took 59 firefighters an hour to put out the fire so that they could rescue Heche from the vehicle because she was in there the whole time everything's on fire. Well, they put her on a gurney, and there's this terrifying footage. I found the best, cleanest HD copy I could, and I'm going to put it on my Instagram if you haven't seen it. I'm going to warn you, it's horrifying. They put her on a gurney, and they're transporting her to the ambulance, and there's drone footage, or a helicopter, I don't know, of her on the gurney, covered in a white sheet. And she tears through the sheet and rises up like a horror movie. Because everyone presumed that she was dead. In fact, on the video that I caught from the Fox News helichopper, they thought it was a male. They're like, oh, there he goes. He's not dead or whatever. It's crazy. It looks like something from a horror movie. But at the beginning, when all this happened, a lot of the conspiracies were that, oh, she was in a body bag and she unzips the body bag. No, not really. It's more of a sheet. They just covered her because she was severely burned. Apparently, I think. I asked Dr. Anteater, my assistant Dr. Anteater, who used to be an EMT. And yeah, he concurs with my opinion on that. Well, they think there was drugs in her system, but the toxicology actually takes a couple weeks. And they say that when she got into the hospital, she rose up from the bed, but then lost consciousness again immediately, went into a coma, got put on a ventilator. And on August 11th, 6 days later, which is kind of weird because she was in the film 6 Days, Seven Nights, coincidental, she was said to have what they call an anoxic brain injury, and she would not survive, but they kept her on the life support because she's an organ donor, which is one of my big fears. You know, I'm very OG granola woke. I'm here to try to help other people in need, but I'm a little iffy on the organ donor. I used to always do it. I used to always mark the driver's license like, yeah, donate my organs. What do I need them for? The problem is, and this might be all conspiracy, you need to look this up on your own. This is back in the day before people checked the internet for things. I heard that they'll do some horrible stuff to you. And I heard also that you can't pick and choose. Like, you can't just be like, okay, yeah, take my loved one's eyeballs. They're like, no, if you check the box, I heard, I could be totally wrong on this, so don't blast me in the comments. I heard that they just take everything. Not that you need it. Who cares, right? You might save somebody. You might save little Timmy. Little Timmy got, I don't know, got into the dope sack. And now he needs something. Anyway, so on August 12th, they declare her officially dead because in California, you can be legally dead when you're declared brain dead. So in a way, she was still alive for the organ donor experience there. Hence, a lot of the mixed reporting about whether she was alive or dead. Now, TMZ claims that there was cocaine and fentanyl in her system. However, just yesterday, I'm recording this on August 19th, just yesterday, or this morning even, I read it this morning, I think it was from last night, her stylist at Glass Hair in Venice, whom she had visited prior to the accident, said she seemed totally fine. I believe his exact words were she wasn't speaking in cursive. So we don't know what happened here. But the truthers always do. So we're going to talk about what they say. Obviously, I don't know how much of or any of this is real. Well, there's going to be components that are real. No, I take that back. There's going to be a lot of components here. I'll give you the sources. So who was Anne Heche? Well, she was born in Aurora, Ohio, which is kind of odd considering the Aurora, Colorado connection there, right? I don't know how new you, the listener, may be to the world of conspiracy, but back in the day, there was this film called Dark Knight Rises. And if you recall, there was this horrific mass shooting at the Aurora, Colorado movie theater release of the film. And what was interesting was that if you look at the film, there's a part of the film where the camera flies by a building and it says Aurora, very well pronounced on the top of it. Also claims that Aurora ties you into Lucifer. Talking about the, you know, corona and the brightness of the sun and all that. But, you know, again, a little bit of a stretch sometimes. But anyway, she was born in Aurora, Ohio. She, like I said, she was an actress, all this stuff. We're going to go through her autobiography here in a second. But she was infamously booed up with Ellen DeGeneres, a major character in the QAnon movement, right? And we're gonna hit that in the conclusion. We're going to deeper dive into Ellen. So hold that thought, because first we're going to talk about Anne Heche's autobiography, a book called Call Me Crazy, prophetically predicting how the world would dismiss her in death. Oh, she's just a crazy person on drugs. Nothing to see here. Because that's how it works. And sometimes it's true. That's the kicker. Sometimes people have mental illness, and sometimes people do drugs, and sometimes they're both. And that's one way they can dismiss anyone looking into something, is by just saying, oh, they're crazy and they're on drugs. Because it's a thing that happens, right? Now, I'm trying to get a copy of this book, but I couldn't find a full copy for sale. There's no PDFs. There was no Kindle version. All you had was the physical version, and there was none on Amazon. I went on eBay. You couldn't find a copy for less than $300. These capitalist pigs. These opportunistic pigs. So I couldn't find a full copy. But I did find a Google eBooks searchable form of it. So we're going to get into that. Now, for me to talk about the book, I need to tell you about this mental illness situation. So she had, oh boy. Okay, so if you go to ABC News, back September 4th, 2001. Strange timing, right? I'm going to read you from ABC News. Anne Heche says the sexual molestation she suffered at the hands of her father caused her to escape into a fourth dimension fantasy world in which she believed she was from another planet. "I'm not crazy," Hayes tells 2020 on Wednesday in an exclusive interview with Barbara Walters. "But it's a crazy life. I was raised in a crazy family, and it took 31 years to get the crazy out of me." Further in, it says, "I had a fantasy world that I escaped to. I called my other personality Celestia. I believed I was from that world. I believed I was from another planet. I think I was insane." Hayes traces her problems back to her father, Donald Hayes, a choir director in a Baptist church, who began sexually abusing his daughter when she was still a toddler, she says. "He raped me, he fondled me, he put me on all fours and had sex with me," said Hayes, qualifying that the abuse is only in my memory. "I think it's always hard for children to talk about that abuse because it's only a memory. I didn't carry around a tape recorder, I didn't chisel anything in stone. Anybody can look and say, well, how do you know for sure? And that's one of the most painful things about it. You don't." She says she contracted herpes from him. "I had a rash, I had sores, I had welts on my nose and on my lips," she says. Now, let's pause for just 1 second here. Because I was actually listening to the Great Tinfoil Hat podcast, and they had a recent guest on there who was a New York City detective. The episode was called something to the effect of Manson, and I'm trying to find it for you, but I can't. Manson and the Process Church. Okay, yeah, here we go. Mike Codella is his name. Tinfoil Hat 597. And he goes through this experience he had of talking to a guy who was a 1% biker who was in prison for this exact same thing. And he said, and he more or less says, like, this is one of the most disturbing things ever, because the guy, the biker who was in prison for doing this stuff to his infant daughter, was very blase blah about it, very nonchalant. And he was like, dude, I didn't know anyone was capable of doing this. So if you want to say this stuff never happens, that's not true either. Plus, look to the story of Michael Hutchinson. Or is it Michael Hutchins from NXS, right? That's a long story, right? We should probably do a whole show on Michael Hutchins. He was booed up with Paula Yates, who was Bob Geldof's wife. Bob Geldof, a very prominent musician. And they had a daughter whom, after Hutchins died mysteriously, and then Paula Yates died mysteriously on, I mean, they say drugs, but Bob took this daughter in on adoption, which is kind of weird, right? Not too weird, a little weird. Well, what's strange is that Bob and Paula had a daughter named Peaches, and Peaches had tattoos of the OTO, the Magical Order, very specifically about the Magical Order we talk about on this show. And she was booed up with a guy named Ian Watkins. And Ian Watkins was charged with, let me make sure I don't want to say the wrong thing here. I'm going to look it up on the Wikipedia here, because Wikipedia never lies. He was the singer of Lost Prophets. In 2013, he was sentenced to 29 years of imprisonment for multiple sexual offenses, including the sexual assault of young children and babies. Now, the even more disturbing is that the babies were provided by the mothers of the babies. I guess because they were fans of him. I don't really know how that arrangement goes. It's all very disturbing. So, Anne Heche claims that this happened to her as a toddler from her own father. Is it true? No clue. Wasn't there. That's what she says. Well, the family was asked about these things. And guess what they chalk it up to? They say, well, Anne Heche has mental illness. She's fabricating the stories. But they forgive her in the sense that they think that she thinks that this was real. And I'm thinking, why not just ask dad? You know what I mean? Well, Here's what the news says here. It says, Hache did not learn that her father also had homosexual encounters until 1983 when he was dying of AIDS. When she learned he had the disease, she feared for her own life. So he's apparently living a double life. So and I'm going to keep reading here. On Wikipedia, it says her father actually died in 1983. She was 13. He was 45. Okay. And it says on Wikipedia, Hache said that he repeatedly raped her from the time she was an infant until she was 12, giving her genital herpes. When asked, but why would a gay man rape a girl? In a 2001 interview with The Advocate, Hache replied, I don't think he was just a gay man. I think he was sexually deviant. My belief was that my father was gay and he had to cover that up. I think he was sexually abusive. The more he couldn't be who he was, the more that came out of him in the ways that it did. And that's true, right? That's some outdated thinking to be like, well, if he's a gay man, he only likes men. Well, I mean, it could be bi. It could be other things going on. So, hard to know, right? But it's interesting because I remember how in the 80s and 90s, a lot of people really had that thought of, like, there was confusion, right? Because we didn't talk about sexuality back then like we do today. Today it's, you know, listed in your bio with your pronouns and all that stuff. Now, I'm trying to sift through my notes here. Her mother apparently became a Christian therapist and does conversion therapy, which is, I don't know what, electroshock therapy, trying to pray the gay away. They try to take gay people into conversion therapy to say they're not really gay. Very controversial practice. I want to say the Mormons do it in Utah. I could be wrong. So this family's different, all right? A few months after her father's death, her brother would die at 18 from a car crash. And they said it was because he fell asleep. And Hache said it was suicide. Which makes me think and wonder, what if she was trying to commit suicide? I mean, what an insane way of doing it, but is, again, lots of oddities. Now, here's what's even odder. She had four older siblings. Three of them died. One from brain cancer at 49. One was an infant who died at 2 months from a heart defect. And then the son that died at 18 from the car wreck from, you know, some people say he fell asleep and says it was suicide. Now, strange background, right? Well, let's talk about her personal relationships here. She, in that article with Bob Walters, she details going from dating Steve Martin, who's 24 years older than her, by the way, to Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen knew everything, Hache says, including her identity as Celestia and her belief that she could speak to the dead. Their three-year relationship ended in August 2000. The day after the breakup, Hache was found wandering door-to-door in Fresno, California. She ended up in a stranger's backyard, deeply confused. I was told to go to a place where I could meet a spaceship. I was told in order to get on that spaceship that I would have to take a hit of ecstasy, said Hache, who adds that she is not a consistent drug user. Fresno was the culmination of a journey and a world that I thought I needed to escape in order to find love. That day, Hache says, she regained her sanity and began to put the fragmented pieces of her life in place. Now, she would eventually leave Ellen for a cameraman that was working on an Ellen DeGeneres documentary. Ain't that a bitch? And she said, he's one of the few people I've ever met who actually embraces the same notion about sexuality that I do, which is that you love who you love, you fall in love with a person, not a sex. Which is actually way ahead of its time, right? She's talking about like a pansexuality kind of thing. Now, so lots of strange things to consider here. We've got the dad who was secretly gay, Baptist choir, whatever, alleged to be doing the toddler thing. And then her, sexuality is, what do you call it? Non-normative. All right. But let's talk about this alter ego. Wikipedia tells you, it'll say, and shout out Nick Hinton. Lots of people tagged me in Nick Hinton's post on the alter ego thing. We're getting him on the show next week, so we'll talk about it. I'm going to record it in about a week. You're not going to hear it for a few weeks, all right? I got a schedule to tend to here. Hayes stated that she created a fantasy world called the Fourth Dimension to make herself feel safe, and had an alter ego who was the daughter of God and half-sister of Jesus Christ named Celestria, who had contacts with extraterrestrial life forms. She's making contact with the aliens, folks. Hayes said she recovered from her mental health concerns following the incident in Cantua Creek and put her alter ego behind her. Now, here's where we talk about the book. Again, could not find a copy of the book. I don't think it really matters. Sometimes you can go to Google Books and they'll have digital copies and you can search within it, but they black certain pages out, right? So that's all I've got to work with. And here's some of the excerpts. In my world, there was no abuse given to anybody at any time. By the time I was an adult, the shame I'd experienced had gotten so bad that I retreated to this world. This world became my reality. I called it the Fourth Dimension, and my name there was Celestia. I believe that many people think I went insane. I do not believe I'm insane. I believe I went through a period of my life that was insane, and it lasted 31 years. At the peak of my insanity, I never knew what was going to happen to me next. I was constantly hiding and being asked to hide. It was confusing because I believed that was what was happening to me was really happening, but I knew that other people thought I was crazy. Hiding is never a solution. It works for a while, but then it falls apart. By the time I finished shooting 6 days and seven nights, I felt like three completely different people, all existing at the same time. I was Anne and Ellen, the second half of the most famous gay couple in the world. I was Anne Heche, the closeted abuse victim with a burning desire to be successful actress, writer, and director. And I was Celestia, a spirit being from the fourth dimension here to teach the world about love. The fight to keep all of me alive over the next 3.5 years almost killed me. Interesting quote there, the fight to keep all of me alive. Because like that video clip, and if you haven't seen the video that I'm talking about, I'm going to put it on my Instagram, instagram.com/IsaacWiseUp. It's like they presume she was dead. And she fights through the sheet. She struggles to sit up on the gurney, like she's reaching out. I mean, it's probably the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Because it's real, you know. Shout out to all my, firefighter, EMT, cops, man. They see some crazy stuff. Like I always say, I'm not the biggest fan of law and order and police. But we need it. And those people go through a lot of crap, man. Not an easy job. Okay, where are we at here? In a different section of the book, she talks about how she could use her hand as an antenna to receive information through. And she says that she was able to see the future. She was able to channel dead people. And she was felt like a superhero. And she would go on to say that it became worrisome for her, and she adopted a new mantra for this Celestia superhero alter ego. She said, pretend that you're normal, Anne. Pretend she's not here and she will disappear. She also describes this fourth dimension from which Celestia comes from, and she says, there was no hatred. Everyone was equal here. There was no color, no race, no creed distinction. In fact, there was no gender distinction. And of course, like every other contactee of extraterrestrials, spirit world, she was going to bring a message from the fourth dimension into the world. And lucky for us, it's in the book. All right, here's the message. Are you ready? Love is the understanding that all humanity deserves to have each and every one of their needs met with respect and honor and care. We can have complete love on earth. We just have to agree to it. All of us together have to agree. Hate is an agreement we have made together. Hate is anything less than love. Hate is the belief that any one person is or deserves less than what any other person deserves. Agreements can be changed. We just have to agree to change them. Change starts with yourself. We agree to not understand differences. We agree that we are right and those who do not believe as we do are wrong. To change hate into love, we must agree that all people are equal. All beliefs are worthy. All differences are beautiful. Anything other than that belief creates hate in ourselves. We reflect the truth of what we believe through our actions. Our world is a collective reflection of those actions. We agree to war, to famine, to abuse. Each and every one of us plays a part. If we believe anything less than love for everyone equally, we are agreeing to hate. Our world shows us just how deep and committed our agreement to hate is. Our agreement is ugly and nasty and bloody and brutal, and we have all played a part by agreeing to less than love within ourselves. Take that for what it's worth, right? In the book, she talks about becoming Celestia in her mind. She became Jesus because Celestia now is the reincarnation of God, here to teach mankind about love, right? As the message says. She apparently wrote down a new Bible, which I could not retrieve from the Google Books because it was blocked. She says she didn't understand what she wrote, but she knew the idea was that God is love, the world is love, there's no pain, all that stuff we just read. And then she goes, war is an ugly battle of ego. Ego must die. We are all God. And this sounds very occult-like, right? Destruction of the ego, and we are God. Man can become God. The apotheosis, the alchemical process, the philosopher's stone. She says she was telepathically getting messages from God, who went by the name Quinnes, and it represented a genderless God that was both female and male, which is oftentimes how the occult history of the world describes God, or describes the early Adam as a hermaphrodite. Now, what's weird, and I'll put this image on my Instagram too, instagram.com/IsaacWeishaupt, link in the show notes. You can watch the creepy video, Never Sleep Again. And you can also check out the cover of the book. It's got her covering one eye. Yes, the all-seeing eye. And it was weird because the book's copyright page says copyright 2001 by Celestia Films Incorporated. So she started a business off of this Celestia, I guess. Anyway, the book... So there's this weird alter ego thing going on where she's channeling God. Now, as far as the death goes, there's lots of funny business going on here. First, I'm going to read you here. The LAPD said in a statement to Page Six Saturday, as of today, there will be no further investigative efforts made in this case. Any information or records that have been requested prior to this turn of events will still be collected as they arrive as a matter of formalities included in the overall case. When a person suspected of a crime expires, we do not present for filing consideration. So again, they're saying, she was on drugs, it's a wrap. Nothing to see here. And maybe there's nothing to see there. But one thing to consider is the creation of mind alters. All right, she was traumatized as a child. And maybe that informed her ability to act. Because when you act, you take on different personas, right? It says that she was at a school play in high school at age 16 when an agent saw her perform and she got the first role on the soap opera. So she was very good at it from a young age. Well, she says that she was going through this trauma at the hands of her father at a young age. And this fits into a lot of the conspiracy theories about MKUltra and Project Monarch, and it includes the abuse of children, because you can create amnesic barriers and alter egos and compartments of the mind through the trauma. Some people go as far as to say that this is how they make programmed serial killers. Because you make them, it's like Manchurian Candidate. They activate the alter ego. The information gets compartmentalized. They don't even remember doing any of the stuff. That's the theory. But now here's the kind of the bombshell. I thought this was truth or fake news, because let's be honest, there's a fair amount of truth or fake news out there. Everyone's eager to find the crazy story. So everything I read, I look into first before I repeat it. I thought this was fake news, but it's true. She's starring in a film that comes out next month that's about human sex trafficking. It's called Girl in Room 13, and it releases September 17th, 2022. Room 13, 13 Curious Symbolism. It's an unlucky number. It's the number of witches in a coven. It's Christ and his 12 disciples. Remember, she thinks she's Christ. Maybe. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know how that fits in. Here's the synopsis. Grace becomes addicted to opioids after suffering a sports injury. She's ready to leave her addiction behind under her mother's watch, but her past won't let her go. Richie kidnaps her in a motel room to sell her into human trafficking. Now, what's wild here is that it's actually based on real events. HiddenRemote.com says this. Girl in Room 13 is inspired by actual events. It will explore the story of Grace Diaz, who was addicted to opioids after her doctor prescribed them for a sports injury. Blah, 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 blah. But the young woman is coerced by her friend into meeting her former love interest and drug dealer Richie Montesi. When she does, she finds herself imprisoned in a hotel room with no way out. Richie repeatedly violates Grace, forces her to consume drugs and alcohol, and starves her with the goal of breaking her down so she becomes compliant and can be sold into human trafficking. Her mother, Janie, that's played by Heche, refuses to give up on her daughter, even when her husband and police believe Grace is using again. She stops at nothing to find her daughter, discovering the dark world of human trafficking. So, the theory builds that, well, she was about to expose, because the original conspiracy I saw was, oh, Aunt Heche was working on a documentary to expose human trafficking, which is what they say about everyone who dies, you know. And sometimes there's elements of truth to that. Well, there's elements of truth to that, because it turns out she is going to be in a film that's about this subject, and it was based on a real event. And, you know, she, on some level, must have been interested in exposing this to the world, right? So, but here's where I get hung up. Okay, so the theory is, oh, she was going to do this film about all the, you know, some people go as far as to say, oh, she was going to be in a film about Epstein. That was what Politico Fact claimed. And I'm like, I didn't see any of that anywhere on any of the truther things. But maybe it was real. But they claim, oh, these truthers are saying this movie is about Anne Heche was murdered because she was in a movie about Epstein. False. You know, I shared that on my Instagram already. Okay, bang up job, guys. Except she's going to, it's kind of true. It's a movie about human sex trafficking. So what if she was about to do a big campaign raising awareness for it? But the question is, what's the motive here? If she was going to do a big campaign to raise awareness of it, that would be the motive. They want to take her out before she could, you know, raise awareness of human sex trafficking. Would it be Lifetime? No, you know, maybe. Maybe it's a Lifetime movie. Maybe they want to get more viewers. It's like when a rapper dies, their album sales go through the roof, you know? What about Ellen DeGeneres? If she's tied into this, all these allegations, these QAnon wacky theories, then yes. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about that. The theory is, and I want to underline that and emphasize it. This is a theory, not mine. The theory, and this goes back to the heyday of QAnon and human trafficking back in the summer of 2020. Recall we did several shows on these topics. The Wayfair Conspiracy, which is one of my largest downloaded shows ever. Well, she was alleged to be involved with all this stuff, right? And funny enough, I tried to research to see more about it, and the internet is scrubbing all of it from existence. Even DuckDuckGo, my friends. And I found a few mainstream articles, but they don't even look into the theories. They just say, oh, these crazy Q people are picking on Ellen with unfounded ideas that don't make any sense. There's one on Newsweek, and it even picked on our friends, Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan. Back when Bravo was on Joe Rogan in January 2020 and said Q is 100% right, which, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I went on Eddie Bravo's podcast called Look Into It. And, you know, we don't agree on everything, and that's okay. We had a nice, fun, spirited debate about flat Earth, because I'm not a flat Earth guy, and he is. And we could probably go into the same debate about Q. I don't know if his opinion has changed. Maybe it has. Anyway, the internet is scrubbing all this Ellen DeGeneres QAnon stuff. It's pretty wild, because I've been doing this research for over 10 years now. And I've never seen anything like this. But they scrubbed all of it. But luckily, your boy here is the repository of conspiracy theory, pop culture nonsense. And I did four shows on QAnon back in the summer of 2020. And I looked through my notes. And here's a few that tie into Ellen DeGeneres. We talked about adrenochrome many times on this show. And the short version is that there's this idea that the Illuminati or whoever use the blood of the youth to extend their life or whatever, or get off like it's a drug, you know. And when COVID first hit, there were allegations flying around about, they're like, oh, look how bad Ellen looks, you know, because she would do live streams from home. Look how old she looks. Well, I mean, she is like 64. But they're like, she's getting low on that adrenochrome. Tom Hanks is getting low on adrenochrome, bro. But you recall the same people claiming this were saying like, oh, they're arresting all the pedos. You know, Tom Hanks, Oprah, Ellen, they're arresting all of them while we're all in quarantine. And we're going to get the 14 days of darkness where they shut down all the media. And they're going to get all these folks, Epstein's people. And of course, that never happened because it was a psyop, right? It was a psyop. Another symbolism is the bloody handprint, a.k.a. the Frazzle Drip. Frazzle Drip, what a wild name. Now, this is based on a theory about a video. There's this alleged surveillance video of Hillary Clinton and her assistant, Yuma, I think her name was, is, of them in a room, and they take a kid and they cut its face off and put it on their face to absorb the adrenochrome. Now, I've seen the debunk of this, that it was like a deep fake video. I don't know. Why were they walking around like Leatherface? But anyway, it's kind of a horrific video too, to be honest. But good luck finding all this stuff. The internet has successfully scrubbed all of this from the world. Because I saw the video. I saw the debunk video. Anyway. But the bloody handprint, this ties into the human furniture thing, the adrenochrome, the pizza emails, all that stuff. And I did a Patreon bonus show that had some major bombshells on it. I don't want to say it out loud, so I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to subscribe to my Patreon. For $5, you're going to get a copy of The Dark Path. You're going to get a copy of Kubrick's Code, looking at Stanley Kubrick movies, Eyes Wide Shut, Clockwork Orange, The Shining, right? 2001 A Space Odyssey. And you're also going to access over 100 bonus episodes that are on there in the archives that you've never heard before. Wow, what a deal. Patreon.com/Illuminati Watcher. And this mystery show that I'm talking about right now. And, well, let's see. I was referring to an episode of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. It was episode 1. About this guy named Ray Rivera, and his death had all kinds of Illuminati symbolism, and it was so sketchy. I actually had it on the free feed for a minute, but then I got bugged out, and I made it a Patreon only, because I felt like it hit too close to reality. And because Rivera had this suicide note, he was talking about all this Freemason stuff, and he went through this whole list of movies that he found to be compelling, and it included a ton of films rich in symbolism. And I go through it on that Patreon bonus show. One movie is Identity, which has John Cusack, who's buds with Johnny Depp and Hunter S. Thompson. And the film poster for Identity shows us the frazzle drip, the bloody handprint, which is like, what's the name of the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks on the volleyball? Got the bloody handprint on the volleyball. Walter? No, what the hell is it? It doesn't matter. This bloody handprint would be part of the Q stuff. You remember Justin Bieber was wearing the bloody handprint, and so was Ellen. But it comes from the artwork of Jean Basquiat. That's the official debunk of it. Okay. So that was again, dicey connections here. Decent rebuttals. I don't know what to take of this stuff, right? On the set of Ellen's show, there were these blue and white striped buildings that looked exactly like the blue and white striped facility on Epstein's Lolita Island that we all know. You can find images of that. Maybe I'll make a note. I'll try to put that on my Instagram post with the video and the book with the single eye thing. Now, it was alleged that Ellen was visiting Lolita Island, which apparently was not true, apparently. Now, what is weird is that her show had... They interviewed a guy named Jesus Campos. I watched this back in the day. This was the security guard from Mandalay Bay. I recall podcasting about it back when this happened in 2017. And it was weird as hell. This guy came out with a handler. And the handler was like staring at him like, bro, you better watch what you say. One of the creepiest interviews I've ever seen. And it was the only interview the guy would do. It was on Ellen DeGeneres. What the hell is going on? She also, another weird one is she also had Alec Baldwin on there. Alec Baldwin who this was in 2020. And he did this bit about like, oh, it's really difficult to get a family photo at Disney. And they play this montage of kids posing in photos with Disney mascot characters, but on all the photos the kids are like grabbing the junk or their head is in the junk of the mascot. Obviously the kids have no idea. They're just kids. And arguably the mascots are just like, I don't know, this probably just happens all the time, right? And sure, that's a joke, right? But it seemed a little out of place. Playing it on a daytime show with Ellen and her audience. I mean, not to stereotype, but I'm going to guess it was a lot of, like, you know, females, stay-at-home mothers maybe, watching this. I don't know that they would think that the crudeness is that funny. Maybe they would, though. I like crude stuff, but I didn't think it was that funny. And then have Alec Baldwin on there playing it, who would later shoot accidentally on that movie set recently. And he was on the Lolita logs. And he did marry some young girl, so it's just bizarre. And then after all of that, after all this back and forth about Ellen being Illuminate confirmed, we get allegations of abuse on set and how toxic her workplace culture was, and even some impropriety sexually of the executive producers. And she wraps it all up. And she's like, okay, I'm not doing the show anymore. And also, side note, I found in my research that Ellen DeGeneres was sexually abused by her stepfather as a teen, which I found interesting, considering that Anne Heche is alleging that her father did similar stuff. Now, out of all this, is there anything we can say, yep, for sure, this is the thing that happened? No, not really. Lots of speculation, but lots of weird stuff. Lots of weird stuff. And sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire, and sometimes there's not. But I would like to wrap it up with a neat little quote, because I don't know who Anne Heche is. Very tragic, though. Author Bret Easton Ellis had a podcast he recorded with Ann Haitian 2016. He's the guy who wrote American Psycho, the book. And this is what Ann Haitian said. I'm going to wrap it up on Ann Haitian's quote. Everything we do, we offend somebody. I don't even know where you're supposed to go to express yourself in a way that somebody isn't going to use it against you. And I think that was very, very wise of her to say. She knew this, right? She recognized it. Because free speech is what we really want to fight for. But I also advocate for being responsible with your free speech, you know? That's why I'm not out here saying, oh, Ellen DeGeneres just killed her or whatever. You know what I mean? We don't know. These are all very strange things going on, though. That's all I do know, is that there's a lot of strange things happening in this world. And that's what we talk about, because it's interesting. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that analysis. A lot of requests for that one. Check out my Instagram, instagram.com/IsaacWeisop. I'm going to put the video of this. I'm telling you, trigger warning, it's terrifying. This video of her jumping up out of the gurney. I'm going to show you the image of the cover of her book and what else? An image of Ellen's Lolita Island set. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for your time, my friends. Till next time, stay woke.